Feeds it off. Left circle. McNabb. Dorofeev. One-timer. Blocked. Rattles around. Score!
Nobody is ever satisfied with one. So we're back for a second hour of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show.
Michael takes it on his backhand. Forehand pass. Hanifin scores! Noah Hanifin, power play goal!
From the Finley Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com, here is Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Hour number two of the VGK Insider Show rolling along here on a Monday. And the VGK Insider Show is brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center. When your first loan is on us, apply for free at don'tbebroke.com to get up to $5,000. Chapman, what are we doing?
Sticks down, dropping the puck.
There's no game until Saturday.
Ooh. Sticks down and wait till Saturday to drop the puck?
Listen, I know that I'm sounding like a grump today, but I'm peeved, man. We just came off of two awesome games, right? Like, Game 6, Florida-New York, awesome game. Game 6, Dallas-Edmonton, awesome game. And now we got to wait a week. Like, I don't want to wait a week. I don't want to wait 6 days. I don't want to wait for the Stanley Cup final to get underway. I want for hockey, and I want it now, and I'm peeved. I'm mad.
Well, I think you should be. I mean, you certainly have valid reason to be mad.
You're not that mad. You're okay with it.
No, well, I'm not okay with it, but I also understand that there's nothing I can do about it. So I'll use the opportunity to spend some time with the family, take the dogs out before it starts to get really, really hot, and I can't. Hunker down. Hunker down and watch the Stanley Cup final, because we're not going to have hockey until October, at least real hockey that matters.
You know, I think that's what it is. I think that this week is giving us a glimpse into what it's going to be like in 3 weeks, right? Like, when the playoffs start, it's the greatest thing in the world because you have games every single night for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And so you're sitting there and you're in the middle of it and you're reveling in it and it's awesome. And then all of a sudden you get a taste of what it's going to be like. And the fortunate thing for us as hockey fans is that we have more hockey to look forward to. We have a whole other series. We have up to 7 more games between the Florida Panthers and the Edmonton Oilers. And yet I don't like it because I'm getting an idea of what it's going to be like when the season concludes. I'm getting an idea as to what it's going to feel like in July, in August, when you want to turn on the TV, you want to watch a hockey game, and there's nothing to be found. You can't do it. So I think I'm just coming to grips. And listen, last year, when you're in the middle of it, like when you're immersed in it the way that we were as the Golden Knights went to the Stanley Cup final and won a Stanley Cup, like when you're in it, you don't really recognize anything else that's going on around you. You just don't. And now that you are, now that we are, that we're kind of aware that there's a whole week of no hockey, it becomes very, very clear how much more fun it is to be in it than not. So let's hope next year the Golden Knights are right back in the fold for a Stanley Cup. Okay, now we've got a lot of time to really dive into this matchup between the Florida Panthers and the Edmonton Oilers. But I want to start with the Conn Smythe considerations, right? Because I think that's the big thing that everyone wants to talk about when it comes to a Stanley Cup final. You know the two teams that are in contention. You know the players, more or less, what they've been able to do and accomplish to this point. You know who the front runners are. Some of the longer shots, I suppose, but I want to go three deep on each side. I want to get your three Conn Smythe candidates, the leading candidates right now for the Edmonton Oilers, and I want to get your three for the Florida Panthers. I'll be honest, I had a harder time figuring out my three for Florida than I did Edmonton, though Edmonton, I feel like I'm going to surprise you. So let's start with the Oilers first. Chapman, I want your first candidate for Conn Smythe?
Well, I'll start with a guy who's got 31 points, and I think it's low-hanging fruit. But in that last series, Connor McDavid elevated his game. He had obviously the big goal last night. He had a game where he had three assists. So I think he's kind of become now the guy where, A, he's the biggest name in the league. He's the face of the league. And if they win the Stanley Cup, he's now cemented himself in that pole position to be the guy who wins the Conn Smythe should the Edmonton Oilers raise the Stanley Cup. It's low-hanging fruit, but I also think there's a lot of validity to it, and I'm going to go Connor McDavid as the first name on that list for me.
Okay, so it's funny because I'm with you in it being Connor McDavid. And here's the thing. If the Oilers win the Stanley Cup, Connor McDavid will win the Conn Smythe. I firmly believe that. I don't think Leon Draisaitl is going to win it. I think there are two guys that have the potential to edge out McDavid, but it depends on what they do in the final. That being said, I don't really believe there's going to be a scenario in the National Hockey League where if the Edmonton Oilers win, Connor McDavid isn't in the Conn Smythe. I just don't believe it. And that's not to say that he doesn't deserve it. Obviously, he was fantastic for them in this round of the postseason. A great performance in the conference final. He had 10 points, 3 goals, including a goal that I've watched about 1,000 times. And it was the goal that he scored to open up Game 6 last night. I don't understand how he was able to dance two defenders that close to the goal and still have the ability to roof that on the backhand by Jake Oettinger. Like, it was a goal to cement a legacy. It was a defining moment for Connor McDavid. And when you have a series that good, when you lead the postseason in scoring with 31 points in 17 games, like, it's pretty ridiculous what McDavid's been able to do. I said going into the conference final that it was Leon Draisaitl's to lose. Right now, it's Connor McDavid's to lose, and I don't think he's going to relinquish that grip anytime soon.
No, and it's not so much that Leon lost it, it's that Connor came and took it.
Yep.
So,
yeah. All right, number two.
I'm going to go Zach Hyman. Look, you've got 14 goals in the playoffs. That's impressive. And I understand, all right, 18 points, so 14 goals, 4 assists. I don't care about the assists. What I care about is the guy's got 14 goals. And if he has a big Stanley Cup final, there's a potential here for this guy to potentially set some history. Mm-hmm. There's the potential for this guy to potentially – yeah, you know what I'm saying. He has an opportunity to do something we have never seen, and that's get to 20 goals. I don't think he's going to score 6 goals in the final. I mean, that would just – I mean, if he does, then just hand him the trophy. But
it's 2 hat tricks, Chapman.
Yeah.
Zach Hyman can score 2 hat tricks.
But he's also got to overcome a fantastic goalie to do that. I just don't know if 6 goals by Zach Hyman is a possibility. But the potential is there. And I like the intrigue of keeping an eye on him in this final. He's plus 9, which is phenomenal. But he's scored some really timely goals for this team as well. So, yeah, you could say 14 goals, impressive. But it's also what those goals mean and when he scores them. He's a guy – and look, I mean, this is a team. He's 2 points away from becoming, what, the 5th guy on that team to score 20 points in the playoffs. He's probably going to get there. So Zach Hyman, second name on my list. I hope he scores a bunch of goals. And I want to see a scenario where we're talking about Zach Hyman in like game 6, game 7, saying, he only needs 2 goals to either break that record or equalize that record. I think that'd be really fun. It'd be really cool. So for that reason, Zach Hyman goes on my list.
I swear we didn't get together. You didn't get to see my answers here, but Zach Hyman for me is the most likely player to win the Conn Smythe after Connor McDavid. And you've alluded to it. Reggie Leach, Jari Kurri, they both scored 19 goals in a single postseason. That's the record for most goals in a postseason. Zach Hyman has 14 goals through three rounds of the playoffs. If Zach Hyman scores six goals, if he matches that record or exceeds that record, sets the new record, if Zach Hyman scores 20 goals in the playoffs, I don't know how you can reasonably not give him the Conn Smythe. And I'll use the example of last year. Jonathan Marchessault and Jack Eichel. Because it's a very similar scenario, right? Jack Eichel had more points than Jonathan Marchessault, but Jonathan Marchessault had the most goals in the postseason. And goal scoring is weighted differently, especially in the playoffs, because the thing that happens as you go further and further and further is it's harder and harder to score. So if by that logic, you don't go with Jack Eichel, because even though he had more points and even though he was the setup guy and even though he was the one creating the plays, Jonathan Marchessault was the one finishing him off. The same argument can be applied here to Connor McDavid and Zach Hyman. Hyman, game-winning goal in Game 6 to send the Oilers to the Stanley Cup Final. And he's got 14 freaking goals. Like, I'm sorry. I have a hard time believing that he's going to get shut down completely. If we're talking about 17, 18 goals for Zach Hyman, he has to be in consideration for this.
Yeah, I totally agree, which is why I also have him on that list.
All right, who's your three?
All right. I can't believe I'm even going to say this.
Stop it.
I if you would have asked me 2.5, 3 weeks ago what I thought of this guy, I would have said number two. He's the number two goalie.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Since Stuart Skinner was benched, and I believe it was for May 14th and 16th, mm-hmm. He has played 8 games since coming back. He has allowed 2 or fewer goals in 7 of those 8 games. The one game he gave up 4 goals, it was, I think, Game 3 against Dallas. He's a huge reason why they got by the Edmonton Oilers, or by the Vancouver Canucks in Game 6 and 7. He shut mm-hmm. them down. He shut down the Dallas Stars. Like, I can't believe that I'm even having this conversation and throwing his name out there. His save percentage is not great. But his goals against average, he's average. I mean, considering in those first few, he gave up 9 goals in his first 2 games this year in the playoffs against the Kings. He gave up 4 and 5 in consecutive games. He gave up 5 against Vancouver. He got benched. But since coming back, I don't want to say he's been their best player, but he's been among their best players, and I think he's a huge part of the reason why they are now playing for a Stanley Cup. I can't believe I put his name there, but I can't overlook how good he has been since he came back. And I know people will probably push back and say, well, he wasn't very good at the start of the playoffs. Yes, maybe that's the case. But he got them through that first round. And he's been really good in his last 8 games. Like, really, really good. Elite good in his last 8 games.
Okay. I'm surprised that you and I have the exact same answers, but it's Stuart Skinner. If Connor McDavid is shut down, if Zach Hyman doesn't score a bunch of goals, but Stuart Skinner continues to play like he did in the Western Conference Final, then there's a real possibility Stuart Skinner is in the conversation. Like, I think it's an outside shot, but I think that these are the three guys that legitimately have a chance to win Conn Smythe for the Edmonton Oilers. Like, you can sit here and talk about Evan Bouchard. I'm not having that conversation. It's not going to happen. I think Leon Draisaitl's interesting because it probably should be him right in the middle of it, but he's not going to supplant Connor McDavid, and he's certainly not going to supplant Zach Hyman if Hyman scores 18, 19, 20 goals. Could he supplant Stuart Skinner. Well, I guess that depends on how Stuart Skinner approaches the Stanley Cup final and how good he is in that situation. But let's just take a look at Stuart Skinner only in the Western Conference final. Chapman, I know that you referenced the two games, 6 and 7 against Vancouver, but I'm looking at it just from the Western Conference final. A 923 save percentage. 923. Stuart Skinner, over his career in the playoffs, has been a sub-900 goaltender in the postseason. Like, he has been bad for long stretches in the playoffs, numbers-wise. He was excellent over 6 games against a Dallas Stars team that can find the back of the net and is incredibly deep. Now, 12 goals in 6 games. That's it.
Yeah.
When you add in the overtimes and all that, his goals against average was sub-2 in this series. Stuart Skinner is on a different level right now. I didn't expect or believe he could get there, but he's gotten there. And if he continues to play at that level, he's in the conversation. And the fact of the matter is, the only reason we're not talking about a Game 7 tomorrow is because of the brilliance of Stuart Skinner last night. It's that cut and dry. It's that simple. The Edmonton Oilers had 10 shots on goal, and they won the game because Stuart Skinner won it for them. You want to talk about a goalie and the ability to steal a game? That was Skinner last night in Edmonton against the Dallas Stars, and that was the performance that pushed him into the short list of front runners for the Conn Smythe Trophy from the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, I'm totally on board with that. That's pretty much where I'm at. I mean, his performance in the Western Conference Final was as good as I've seen any goalie play in a that stage of the playoffs in a long, long time. I mean, certainly, it was every bit as impressive as it appears on paper, because, I mean, some of the saves he made, like, you look at the numbers, you're like, okay, well, maybe this or that, but, like, he made some huge saves, and he frustrated Dallas. Like, they were visibly frustrated trying to score on him, and I mean, that's mm-hmm. a credit to the guy. Like, he could have gone two directions after he was benched. He could have pouted and cried about it, and he's playing golf today if he did that. He didn't. Yeah. He found another gear, and I think the guy, he deserves his credit. And, you know, he's been really impressive. He outplayed Jake Oettinger, who we widely consider to be one of the top 3 or 4 goalies in the league. So he deserves to be on that list, absolutely.
Okay. Let's turn our attention to the Florida Panthers. Who do you got?
Well,
number one consideration.
All right. I'm not going in any particular order here, but mm-hmm. since we just mentioned Stuart Skinner, I'm going to go with Sergei Bobrovsky for the Florida Panthers. I mean, we talked about how good Skinner has been in since being benched. Bobrovsky has been phenomenal from start to finish. He's played 17 games, and he's had one stinker in every series. He had the game against the Lightning where he gave up 6, but they were up 3-0 in that series. What does he do? He comes back, and he has he gives up 1 goal in that game against the Lightning on 32 shots to close them out. He has the one bad game against Boston where he gives up 4 goals, but other than that, 1 goal, 2 goals, 2 goals, 2 goals, 1 goal. Then he impresses even more against the Rangers. Shutout in game 1. 2 goals in game 2, which, by the way, he lost, giving up 2 goals. 933 save percentage in that particular game. That was a double overtime game, I think. Then he has the stinker in game 3. But then 2-2-1. It's no shock that the Florida Panthers went back to the Stanley Cup final, but it was made a whole lot easier with the performance that Sergei Bobrovsky has given them throughout these playoffs. I think he's certainly a guy who, maybe when we went through this list 2 weeks ago, we didn't mention him. I'm mentioning him now. He absolutely deserves to be in contention for the Conn Smythe.
Okay. Believe it or not, I am a friend to the goalies, but I'm not going to select Sergei Bobrovsky for 1, 2, or 3.
Wow.
I know. It's weird. mainly because, like, the numbers are never going to be kind to him. Like, the timely saves are always going to be the calling card for Sergei Bobrovsky. But I just think that when you look at the forward core for this Florida Panthers team, I think it's an easy decision in where you go. And that's Matthew Tkachuk. I get it. You're a big Barkov guy. I'm sure Barkov is going to be on your list at some point here. But Matthew Tkachuk is the star of the Florida Panthers. Now, relatively quiet, I suppose, in the conference final, though he did have a goal and 5 points in the series, a six-game series, so right at a point a game. He's got 19 points. He leads the Panthers in points. Just 5 goals, though, so far in the postseason. But as I said before, and I'm going to reiterate here, Matthew Tkachuk saves his best for when it matters the most. And I just believe that he was getting himself, getting his body to a point where he can get back into the Stanley Cup final healthy. And I believe we're going to see the best version of Matthew Tkachuk. And I think he wins the Conn Smythe by having an absolutely brilliant Stanley Cup final.
I mean, I guess I'll go with Matthew Tkachuk. I mean, I was going to mention him third, but for all the reasons you mentioned, Matthew Tkachuk is, you know what Matthew Tkachuk is? He's, you and I were both big wrestling fans when we were kids. Matthew Tkachuk is that guy who was the heel, but the fans rooted for him. They loved him because you never knew what he was going to do, but he was exciting. He was fun. Like when Stone Cold was the bad guy, like everybody loved Stone Cold Steve Austin. Matthew Tkachuk.
He was never a heel.
Well, he was always over. Well,
Matthew Tkachuk. No, hold on. Matthew Tkachuk is Razor Ramon. That's what you're describing.
Yeah, I mean, whoever you want to describe, whether it's The Rock when he was a bad guy, whether it was Stone Cold, like Matthew Tkachuk is the heel that you root for. Like, I mean, I always root for the bad guy to begin with, but I think a lot of other people generally never rooted for the bad guys to win. Like, I rooted for Darth Vader, and I rooted for the bad guys in a lot of movies as a kid, except Gladiator. I could not stand Joaquin Phoenix's character. He was like the one bad guy I was so happy to see get it at the end. But like Matthew Tkachuk, he's just and listen, he's got the most points for the Panthers. He's their heart and soul. He's their best player. He's the cog in the engine. He's the guy who stirs the drink. I mean, whatever corny anecdote you want to use to describe him is accurate. I just love watching him play. I like how he annoys the hell out of people, but he produces. Like, he's not just some guy who goes out there and stirs up trouble and doesn't produce. Like, he's a guy who backs up what he does to taunt guys. He backs it up with his play. And I don't know how you would go anywhere other than Matthew Tkachuk.
Okay, well, my two is Sam Bennett. And listen, I get it. It seems a little out of left field, and that's fine. But he was the most consistent forward for the Panthers in the conference final. He scored 4 goals. He had 6 points. I recognize this is a playoff MVP, and that Sam Bennett missed some time with an injury, all of that. But when you consider the fact that he's only been held off the score sheet in 4 of the 12 games that he's played in, he has been incredibly consistent when he's been healthy. And he's gotten better and better and better as he's gotten healthier and healthier. And I just believe that, like, Sam Bennett is going to have an impact on this series. Sam Bennett's going to have an impact on getting in Stuart Skinner's face, in making the Oilers' top players feel a little bit more uncomfortable. And if you start to look at a situation where Bennett's got 4 goals, 5 goals in a cup final, all of a sudden he's got 10, 11 goals, double digits, and he's a big reason why the Florida Panthers can win. So to me, he is right there with Matthew Tkachuk through 3 rounds of the postseason.
I'm fine with that, but that's not the direction I'm going to go. You know, it's funny, Ryan, because I think you thought that I was going to go with Alexander Barkov, and I'm not.
I did.
First of all, I love Alexander Barkov, one of my favorite players in the league. I always like watching him play, but I'm going to go with Carter for Hagee. Mm-hmm. They've got the same amount of points, but it's the goals that matter to me. Verhaeghe has three more goals in these playoffs than Barkov. And what matters to me the most is Barkov only has two goals since the Tampa series. Carter Verhaeghe scored three goals in that Rangers series, and that helped elevate the Florida Panthers over the New York Rangers in that series. He had a couple of assists as well. He had a two-assist game against the Rangers. I think that was game three. So I like both Barkov and Verhaeghe, but I'm going to give the edge to Verhaeghe because of the goals. And I will preface this by saying I don't think either one of those guys would win the Conn Smythe if the Florida Panthers win. I think this is really only a two-person race for the Panthers. I think it's Bobrovsky or Matthew Tkachuk. Although I think if obviously Verhaeghe or Barkov had an unbelievable final, they could win it. But I think it's a two-team or two-person race with Tkachuk and Bobrovsky. So being forced to pick the third, I'll go with Verhaeghe over Barkov just because I think he scored more goals and he's had more goals recently. And I think that will sit in the minds of the voters.
Okay. I'm going way off the board here.
You're going with a defenseman.
I am going with a defenseman.
Oh,
do you know which defenseman I'm going with?
Montour.
No.
Oh, I love
Gustav
Forsling.
Gustav Forsling. Okay, listen, I fully recognize that I'm off the board here, and I don't care. This is more a Gustav Forsling appreciation monologue than anything else. Like, I love the guy. I love Forsling. I love how he plays. I love how he skates. He's a solid defenseman. He has really solidified things for the Panthers on the back end. But there's also point production that comes along with Gustav Forsling. It's not to the same level of Evan Bouchard, but when you're surrounded by McDavid and Dreisaitl and Nugent Hopkins and Hyman, like, you're going to have points just kind of stick to you. Here's what I like about Forsling. In the Eastern Conference Final, he scored two goals and two assists, 4 points in six games for a defenseman who did a really good job defending. And not just the fact that he did a good job defending, not just the fact that he scored some timely goals, but, like, he eliminated the Boston Bruins in the second round. It was a great goal from Forsling. Then he has scored timely goals for the Florida Panthers. He has helped initiate comebacks for the Florida Panthers. Like, there is a level to the game that Gustav Forsling is playing right now. I love the way that he plays. I recognize this is likely not going to happen. In terms of Conn Smythe, this is the outlier for sure. But this is a moment to recognize how good Forsling has been for the Florida Panthers, the level that his game is at going into the Stanley Cup final. And if you have a series, a quiet series from McDavid and Dreisaitl, Forsling's going to be a part of that, and he can score too. That might enter the heads of the voters as they get deeper and deeper into the Stanley Cup final. But those are my three. I like Matthew Tkachuk. I like Sam Bennett. I like Gustav Forsling. The thing for me when it comes to the Florida Panthers is they're pretty balanced all the way throughout their lineup. Like you mentioned it, right? Carter Verhaeghe and Alexander Barkov have the same amount of points, but they've gotten to those totals in vastly different ways. They're a pretty balanced team in that scenario, so it really does leave the field open a little bit more when you look at Florida than it does for the Edmonton Oilers. Like, I think we agree there's really one guy for the Edmonton Oilers, maybe a second, but that's only if you get to historical numbers for Zach Hyman or a ridiculous 4 or 5, 6-game stretch for Stuart Skinner.
Yeah, and I think for me, what's really impressive about Gustav Forsling is he's plus 11 in the playoffs.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, like their defense core is a lot better than I think a lot of people maybe thought. I mean, because, like, when you look at who's getting the job done, like, Aaron Ekblad's name is not on the list. Like, that's the thing.
It's been Montour. Yeah. It's been Montour. It's been Forsling. It's been Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
I love Brandon Montour. Really... I've liked him since he was with the Ducks. But, man, he's really elevated his game a lot since getting to Florida. Like, one of those guys who kind of slides under the radar. I like their blue line a lot. Like, I'm a big fan of, I mean, you know, I'm a fan of this team. So I don't think you could sell me wrong on anybody that's been mentioned.
Yeah, I think that's really the key when it comes to the Florida Panthers. And it illustrates the difference between Florida and Edmonton as we, again, have quite a bit of time to dig into the Stanley Cup Final between the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers. We're back with one-timers next on the VGK Insider Show.
Carlson left corner, centered, one-timer, score!
It's time for one-timers. One-timers. A quick look at news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
One-timers, news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Did we watch Joe Pavelski's last game in the National Hockey League last night in a 2-1 loss to the Edmonton Oilers? It feels that way. He's played 1,332 regular season games, amassed nearly 500 goals, over 1,000 points, turns 40 in July, and he's without a contract. And though Joe Pavelski saved his best game of the playoffs for last night, I thought he was excellent for the Dallas Stars in Game 6, there's no denying Joe Pavelski is not the player he once was. He's not even the player that he was in the regular season. Now, it's possible maybe he was playing through something. Like, I'm going to leave that option on the table, I suppose. But at the end of the day, he had one goal and 4 points in 19 playoff games. That is not like Joe Pavelski at all. So it begs the question, is Joe Pavelski done? Was last night his final game?
Yes. Yes, it was. I like Joe Pavelski, and he strikes me as a guy who is the type of player who, when he feels he's not playing up to the standard that he set for himself, that I think he's gonna make that decision to go. You know, the crazy thing, Ryan, is the guy had 67 points in the regular season.
That's what I'm saying.
But he was a non-factor in all three series. So I think if he was playing through something, that makes it more likely he'll be back. But if it turns out that he was healthy and he just, you know, Father Time is undefeated. That's the old saying. And I think when it catches up to you, it catches up to you. And there's really nothing you can do about it. I hope it's not the end. I enjoy watching him play. He's one of the really good human beings in the sport. And I think if he just wasn't there physically, I think he's done. If he was injured, I think that leaves it open for a return. I guess we'll just have to see what is said at Dallas Stars locker cleanout day. I hope he's not done, Ryan. Mm-hmm. I really hope we get more of Joe Pavelski. One of the greatest American players of all time, by the way.
Yeah, I'm with you. I really like Joe Pavelski. I really was rooting for him to get an opportunity to win a Stanley Cup. Frankly, because he's awesome. Like, I know that Joe still ruffles some feathers here, but the fact of the matter is, like, he didn't really do anything wrong on the not a major play. Like, he got hurt.
Yeah.
It wasn't a penalty, and it shouldn't have been, but it's not like Joe Pavelski did anything wrong in that situation. And, you know, when you get to a position where you're 37, 38, 39 years old, and you are having a positive impact and helping to establish a culture of winning with an organization like he has done with the Dallas Stars, you want to see that rewarded in a lot of ways with a championship. I don't know what the future holds for Joe Pavelski. It sure felt like the game was moving too fast for him, right? It sure felt like there were moments where he just didn't have that next step, that next gear that you need, especially to win in the postseason. So I could see it realistically being the end. Now, we should probably save a more in-depth conversation for when we do get any clarification on if Joe Pavelski is going to retire. But do you think he's a Hall of Famer? Because a lot of times you're going to sit there and you're going to talk about, what did he win? Was he an all-star? How often was he an all-star? Like, all those things. Was he ever at the top of his craft? And I'd make the argument, no, like, he was never the best goal scorer. He never put up the most points, but consistency matters. Consistency means something. And I think the fact of the matter is, when you've done what Pavelski's been able to do, especially being such a late draft pick, it almost seems to me, and listen, I'm the farthest thing from a Hall of pretty okay or very or pretty good guy, but I think Joe Pavelski's right there in that conversation.
Well, he's 24 goals away from 500. He's got over 1,000 points in his career. He's plus 201 in his career. Never won a major award. He was an all-star a couple times. I think that's impressive, you know, especially with the format. Actually, I take that back. He was only an all-star once, and that was here in Vegas. So I think he's one of those guys who's on the fringe. I think if he comes back and he gets to 500 goals, I think that's a number where you're like, hey, look, this guy scored 500 goals in the league. That's really impressive. Longevity, obviously, is a key. He was a guy who was pretty healthy throughout most of his career, but I think he's on the fringe. I think the lack of a championship, and I think the lack of any major award and only being an all-star once, I think that makes him a very good player. I don't know if it puts him in the Hall of Fame, and I say that as a Joe Pavelski fan, but I got to be honest. I think he's very close. I just don't know if he'll get in.
So I'm kind of like, I'm talking myself into it because I like Joe Pavelski. Frankly, that's full disclosure. Ordinarily, if it's any other player, you replace the name Joe Pavelski with any other guy, I'm probably making that same argument that you just made. He's on the fringe. He's very, very good, but he's not a Hall of Famer. It's Joe Pavelski, though. To me, There are certain circumstances that kind of make me want to put him into that category. So,
well, there's
we'll see as time goes on.
There's some intangibles here, right? Very likable guy,
yeah.
Very good with the media, and those things matter. Like, those things really do, because the media is who's ultimately voting for you. And I think the fact that he had a good relationship with a lot of people. Look, I don't know how many players in San Jose's history are in the Hall of Fame. Probably not a lot. He's probably, well, I don't think there is a probably, he's the greatest San Jose Shark probably of all time. So I think maybe those things kind of push him in their favor. The fact that they don't have that one guy who played almost his entire career there and was a superstar player while he was there, that's in. So I think there's some things that may be able to push him across the finish line. I think he's got to come back and get to 500 goals. I think if he gets to 500 goals, I think he says, look, you know what? I'm there. It's really hard because he had 27 this year. If he's lost that step, he's not getting 24 goals next year.
Right. Okay. I know that we were going to dive into Pete DeBoer, the Dallas Stars, and one of the big reasons why they lost the series against the Edmonton Oilers, specifically it being their power play. We're going to park that. We're going to push it to tomorrow. But I do want to mention one thing real quick because this is ridiculous to me. The Edmonton Oilers set some records last night, though not records you want to set even though they clinched their ticket to the Stanley Cup Final. Edmonton's 10 shots on goal were the fewest in a conference final clinching game. Their minus 25 shot differential was the worst shot differential by a winning team in a conference final clincher. The Edmonton Oilers were systematically and very thoroughly outplayed last night by the Dallas Stars. They were. There's no getting around it. The Oilers were great on the power play. The Stars were awful on the power play. That's the difference in the game. And Stuart Skinner. Stuart Skinner was fantastic. He won the game for the Edmonton Oilers. The only reason, and I mentioned it a couple times, the only reason we're not talking about Game 7 tomorrow between these two teams is because of the work Stuart Skinner did in Game Number 6. And all you've got to do is look at the quality, the quantity, the pressure that Dallas applied to Edmonton all game long. Hockey can be cruel. It can be mean. The Dallas Stars deserved better last night. But goaltending matters. And Stuart Skinner was just better than Jake Oettinger. Those are your one-timers for today, Monday, June 3rd. Catching up with Chapman is next.
When the guy wouldn't stop talking, we had no choice but to give him his own segment. It's time for Catching Up with Chapman.
You know, Ryan, I'm not the best cook in the world, but there's certain things that I do a pretty good job of, and chili is one of them. So I bought some bison meat last night, some ground bison, and decided I was going to make some chili for dinner. And, you know, I brown the meat, season it, get it all nice and flavorful, put it in the crock pot, let it sit for about 8 hours. But I stirred it a little bit before I left. And I'm actually not looking forward to eating it tonight because I made a fatal mistake and I put too much tomato sauce in the chili. It's not going to burn off, so I'm going to have chili soup and not a nice big bowl of chili for dinner tonight. So disappointed in myself. Usually I don't measure. I go off of, you know, feel and know, and I made the fatal flaw tonight. Too much tomato sauce in my chili. So we'll see. Keeping my fingers crossed that maybe the crock pot will burn some of that excess off. But, yeah, not thrilled. Not thrilled.
Do you – is it all meat chili for you or no?
No, I usually go with some – I'll put some beans in and diced tomatoes. And I may stop on the way home and pick up another can of kidney beans, but I don't know if they'll cook enough in the time, because it's already been, and it was too late for me to go out and buy another can before I left for work. So we're just going to have to roll with it. We're going to make spaghetti and put it on the spaghetti, and we'll just have to roll with it.
So you just made like a bean inspired meat sauce for your spaghetti?
Pretty much. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that, how do you generally eat chili? Like, are you a chili and cornbread guy? Like, what do you like to do?
No, I like it Cincinnati style, where I'll put it over spaghetti.
Oh wow.
I like it over rice too. You know, I went to a chili festival one year when I was in Texas, and I don't even know if it's legal to do. I have no idea. You basically pay for like a bowl and a spoon, and you get to go around and you sample all these chilies. And these guys put rattlesnake in their chili. It was phenomenal.
Oh, okay. Nice.
It was phenomenal. I was like, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to eat this. You know what? How often am I ever going to have the chance to eat rattlesnake? Oh, it was delicious. It was so good. So good.
What did it taste like?
Chicken.
Huh. It was a little
chewy, but it was good.
Enjoy your chili tonight, buddy.
I'll try.